Germans. But frankly, who cares?
You are listening to the greatest sports show on the planet, The Season Ticket, in association with Inspired to Change Bristol, helping to get your life back on track.
You're listening to Jax Radio.
That's great, Dave. It's Jax Radio. How you doing? It's The Season Ticket. This is to Brimo and Lance and Ash and Kev and Morgs, and Dan's back after his retirement a few weeks back. You've been on more since you retired, didn't you? Not been on Dan, I think, haven't you, in that time?
Well, all the greats come back, don't they?
Apparently. They do say don't go back, though, don't they? That is the big thing, never go back. But it's great to see you, mate. It's great to see you. So how you doing, boys? You all good?
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, good.
So, we've had a little break again, a little mini break, haven't we, for a few weeks, and when life just gets in the way. So it's good to see you all. Lots going on tonight, Lance, and there's a few games on tonight, isn't there, that you'll be keeping a close eye on.
Champions League action, Championship, a few goals already, but
big game in the Championship in the Season Ticket world, and Lois Luton are playing that mob down the road.
It's another night where we're all Luton, aren't we?
Yeah, we're rooting for Luton tonight, definitely.
0-0 at the moment.
Okay.
20 minutes gone, I think, so.
Okay, well, I was just about to say they don't do well at home, but I'm going to leave that alone, I think, so otherwise that would absolutely put a kibosh on it for Luton. So how's things been? How's it all going?
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, very well indeed.
So Ash, NFL started this weekend. I know we're gonna cover that, but are you like a kid in a candy shop that weekend?
Big style, mate. The last couple of weeks leading up to it, it's just been brilliant. We've had Hard Knocks, haven't we? We've had pre-season. It's been great to our fans back as well.
Yeah.
It's felt like the last bit for me of normality coming back, if you can say that.
Yeah, I think you can. It was, and F1's been busy again, Dan.
Yeah, really busy since it's going back. Yeah, really busy.
So lots to talk about that. Anything happening in the world of rugby league, Kev?
Getting to the sharp end now. One game to go before they get to the playoffs. So,
Good stuff, right?
Well, I've got to say, I'm really surprised to see how fresh the teachers among us are looking.
Yeah, they're not looking too tired, are they?
They're back in work now, aren't they?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. They will tell you though, Kev. They've been back for weeks. That's what they tell you.
Only 6 weeks to go.
Kev, I've got to say the filter mode on Zoom is a wonderful thing.
It's a bit like being on Dartmoor, don't you? Say when you're on Dartmoor, you're only about ever a couple of miles from any road. Being a teacher, you're only like, 5 or 6 weeks away from any holiday at any one point?
six to seven weeks away from holiday.
I take my hat off to you. I couldn't do it for all the money in the world. I couldn't. I'd end up murdering a kid, no doubt about it. I just wouldn't be able to do it. So, but your holidays are great. So
I'm sorry to tell you, you failed your interview, Mr.
Probably wouldn't go down well, would it? Actually, in a teaching, I think I'd probably end up murdering a kid. So probably best not give me the job. But there we are. Anyway. Starting to show up on a big high. Any tweets of the week, lads?
Yeah, I got a couple, Brim.
Let's go, Lords. Come on.
So I'm going to start with, I've got to give this one a bit of context. So okay. Sunderland versus Accrington in League One on Saturday.
Yeah.
Carl Winchester scored for Sunderland. Michael Nottingham scored for Accrington. And Richard Jolly on Twitter tweeted, Winchester and Nottingham scored in Sunderland 2, Accrington 1. A rare case of two places in the Doomsday Book scoring in a game between two places that are not.
He's amazing,
like that,
isn't he,
on
Richard
many
Jolly?
Levels.
He's a really funny bloke on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
He just throws it out. Random stuff he puts in there.
Absolutely. And the second one, a young lady who I believe we're going to talk about shortly, Emma Raducanu.
Yeah.
Obviously, after her amazing win on at the weekend, Mark Steele, comedian and political sort of commentator on Twitter, she's won $2.5 million. If she wins another slam, she'll be the only teenager who can put a deposit on a flat in London.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I loved? I did send it to the boys on the WhatsApp group, but it was her just sitting there in all the crowd were singing Sweet Caroline at the end, and it was just her sat on the chair, and she suddenly just, I think it was just instinct, she just suddenly just joined in and then realised it was all about her again, and then sort of piped down a little bit. But it was lovely. It's a lovely video.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, any other tweets of the week?
I got a couple. I got an NFL based one.
Okay.
It's from JJ Watt a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
It's just to his brother. It says, at TJ Watt, should I send those outstanding IOUs to your accountant, or do you want me to just Venmo it? Because his brother TJ has just become the highest paid defensive player, I think, in history, isn't he?
Isn't nice. Right? Mm-hmm. It's yeah. not bad, is it?
So that's brothers taking a bit of the mick out of each other.
Yeah.
And then one today about a music-based one, this one.
Okay.
So it's from the LA Times. Despite sitting for hours of interviews for the documentary about her life, Alanis Morissette says she's deeply unhappy with the final product, and this was not the story she agreed to tell. And somebody called Ern Malley has just said, isn't that ironic?
I love that.
Someone had to do it, didn't they?
I love that. That's brilliant. Any more? No. All quiet. Okay, good stuff. Right, let's talk about Emma Raducanu. Easy for me to say. I'll be honest, I got absolutely... So my friend, I got a really good friend in New Zealand, Christine in New Zealand, who is a international tennis umpire, currently in isolation in Auckland because she went to the Paralympics. I'll be honest, until the semi-finals, I'd never heard of her. I'm not really that interested in tennis. I sort of woke up on Sunday morning and everybody had gone from a Brexit expert to a science of vaccines, and now they're tennis experts. This young lady has just taken the country by storm the last week, hasn't she? I purposely kept away from it on the final because I thought I would absolutely put a kibosh on it if I started watching it.
Yeah, she made a few headlines at Wimbledon, didn't she?
I don't know.
That was the first time I heard of her. And yeah, it was amazing.
So Christine said to me, I had a chat with her the other day, and she said to me, that it was at Wimbledon she spotted her as well, and she thought, oh, she's quite, in her words, she's quite tasty, which, coming from a female, I'm much more comfortable with it.
She had a bit of a wobble, didn't she? She had a bit of a wobble with like her mental health and stuff during Wimbledon. And
it was a piece we did on the show, wasn't it?
And Piers Morgan had a pop at her about, you know, not...
Was that her? Was that right? Okay, so... I'm probably best not be hosting this bit because I don't know a great deal about her, other than to say, fantastic! What a story! That's a film in there, isn't there?
Yeah,
it's
I think, judging from her demeanour, that I don't think she knows what she's done. Really, I don't think it's because she's so young. She doesn't have the years of worry that British sport gives you about not being able to achieve. And
yeah,
so I honestly think it. It almost means more to other people than it does to her at the moment, I think.
I think that's probably fair, yeah.
And she's a huge F1 fan, so, you know.
You can't have everything, Dan, can you?
Don't spoil her.
What a person.
We were just big and wrong. There's no need to ruin it.
The Americans have really taken to her as well. I don't know if you guys have seen it. She's been on Breakfast TV, and last night she was at the Met Gala last night as well, which is a really big thing, so... They've really taken to her.
Was she wearing something daft there as well, like Kim Kardashian, or was she keeping it?
No, she looked pretty good. She just went for like a nice outfit. No, she didn't go wild all in one.
I hope somebody sort of like proper takes her under their wing a little bit and just advises her properly.
Yeah.
Because I think the adulation of winning something, and this is just this country generally, I think, we love to build people up, don't we? But once we've built them up, all we're ever interested in doing is knock them down again.
It's interesting you say that, because my sense, I mean, I sort of caught up with it from like the quarterfinals onwards,
yeah,
purely by chance. I sort of happened to be in the car going places and her commentary was suddenly on the radio and so on.
Yeah.
So I kind of tuned into it maybe a little bit earlier than some. What I was most amazed, I mean, I just flicked on the telly at 9 o'clock on Saturday night. The standard of the final from the first service was absolutely, it was sport at its very, very best. It was stunning from start to finish, both players. You know, the level of play was incredible. What I was most impressed with was actually how calm and collected and you know, equally joyous, but obviously media trained and so on, but really grounded in the interviews afterwards, really fair. And she just seems to have her head screwed on. And like you were saying, Brim, I really hope that, you know, she doesn't get exploited, because there are some unscrupulous people.
Yeah, absolutely, right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's my big fear. She just, to me, she just looks very pure. Is that the right word? I don't even know if it is or not, really. But she just comes across as sort of the girl next door type. Very, very level-headed, feet on the ground. And I just hope somebody comes along who doesn't exploit that, who doesn't have her chucked in front of everybody and everything, because it will soon turn for her.
I think Brim as well, that bit for me was the winning was almost like, I don't mean in an arrogant way, but it's kind of, she was stunned that she'd won, but also accepted that she's got that ability and the hard work's gone in there. So there was that kind of nice bit of, this is a process, this is kind of what we do. And I think those two girls will be at the top of the sport, injury barring any, you know, problems, for a long, long time.
Because yeah.
Like I say, the quality of that final was just outstanding. One of the best bits of sport I've watched in years, I have to say.
It was Fernandez she beat, wasn't it? I mean, it's not only the fact that she's won this thing. She didn't drop a set, did she?
No.
Yeah. Even in the qualifiers.
It was it's a nuts. It is, isn't it? I mean, I cannot think of a single thing, and there might be something in American sport, Ash, I don't know. I can't think of another thing that this compares to.
It literally muted out on me then, Mark. I missed the bit before.
So I can't think of anything that this compares to at all.
What, in terms of coming from nowhere?
Yeah, in sport.
It's just unreal, isn't it? It's
like Kettering winning the FA Cup, isn't it, effectively?
I read an insane stat as well. Somebody put on Twitter the other day that even if she wins the US Open next year, she would lose ranking points because she qualified and played 10 matches. She got something like 2,040 points this time. If she wins it next year, she'll only get 2,000 points. So she's in that absolute bizarre position of winning a major, but actually going backwards because she's done so well, which is just insane.
No qualifier has ever made the final, let alone won it.
No.
Yeah. The only guy that I seem to remember coming from nowhere was in the 80s, I think it was the 80s, late 80s, a guy called Chris Lewis, who was a New Zealander. But I think he wasn't a qualifier. I think he was just a low-ranked player, and he got to the final. He didn't win it. But it's mad. It's mad. It's an amazing story.
You had Goran Ivanišević, who came in as a wild card and won, but he'd already had an established career. Yeah, but you know, that was ahead of an achievement. But this is just unreal.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe Boris Becker came through in sort of 17.
I guess so.
He played Wimbledon before, though.
Yeah, that's right. He was already making noises, wasn't he, in the sport? Yeah. She's just incredible.
But Kev came out with a revelation on Saturday night that he's not dropped a set at the US Open either.
No,
Kev. True. Nobody had it all their own way.
I also
peaked in my sporting career in my teens, so you never know.
Yeah. Your alternative commentary on Twitter made me laugh, Kev, I must say.
Great similarities, Kev. I've read something as well that for Raducanu, if apparently she gets through like two rounds of her next tournament, which you'd imagine she will, she never has to play a qualifier again for her whole career, basically, unless something goes drastically wrong.
Oh, really?
That's a measure of the distance she's travelled in that one tournament. It's insane, isn't it?
It's it's incredible, isn't it? She, you know, at 18 years of age, she was a prize of like $2.8 million, wasn't it? Dollars.
Yeah.
Last Amazing. Week it was, you know, good for her. Good for her. Let's hope that she does keep her feet on the ground and everybody looks after her and she goes on to have an absolutely amazing career in tennis, because I think it would be brilliant for this country and it'd be brilliant for the game, and it, you know,
I'm sure those people in the public like Piers Morgan and Farage, who were bigging her up at the weekend, will soon knock her down if something goes wrong. It's just the way it is, isn't it?
I'm afraid so, Dan. I'm afraid so. Right, we're going to get the show up and running in a few minutes. I think, Ash, you're up first this week, aren't you?
I believe so.
Yeah. What are we talking about? We're talking about NFL. Anything else? Anything? Just build the moment up.
Lance has got his hand up. It looks like he wants to jump in.
Oh, sorry, Lance. What's the question of the week?
I was going to say, we could have moved swiftly on to the question of the week.
I'm really sorry. Yeah,
that's
really sorry.
All right. It's all good. So, we all love a surprise on this show, and we all love a surprise in a sporting sense. So off the back of that amazing win from Emma Raducanu in the US Open, I want to know, what is your favourite surprising moment in sport? So that's the question of the week.
That will take a bit of thinking about, I think, to be fair.
Yeah, plenty to choose from.
Okay, so the Emerging Artist track of the week is an absolute banger. So a band called The Skylights. Anybody heard of The Skylights?
I have indeed. Yeah, I played them at the Rovers last season.
Good stuff.
Good band.
This is a great tune. This is a tune called YRA. I think you're going to like this, lads.
Daytime on Jack's Radio. Wake up with Abby. Take your lunch break with Brimo. And drive home with Jared. Jack's Radio. Turn it up to the Jacks.
That's an absolute tune, that is. Skylights, it's Jack's Radio. Listen to the season ticket. with Lance, me, Ash, Kev, Morgs, and Dan. I love that. What a tune. What band they are. I've literally just discovered them. I've sort of seen the buzz about them for a little while, but I didn't watch Friends until 20 years later, so I'm quite good at that. Hey, by the way, talking about amazing TV, and I'm going to digress just slightly. Anyone watch Ted Lasso?
Season one. I've only seen season
what
one.
What a show that is.
Brilliant.
Has anybody not seen it?
It's Apple TV, isn't it?
I've not seen it. I've heard it's good, but
lads, seriously, get on it as fast as you can. It's absolutely pure gold.
It's got a heart, hasn't it? That's the best thing about it. It's lovely.
We watched it. Me and Hales, we sort of binged Saturday night. We sat down about 5. I watched Rovers. Was thoroughly cheesed off. Put Ted Lasso on. Forgot all my woes. It's wholesome. It's just something about it. It doesn't rely on bad language or scandal. It's just a wholesome TV program, which is brilliant. So get on that if you can. Sorry, that's a Brimo pick. Are we allowed to say that, or is that?
Is that done?
Right, Ash, you're up first.
How's it going?
Good. I thoroughly enjoyed the whole NFL weekend.
I'm glad someone did.
I did. I thought. I watched the Jets. Yeah. I watched the game. I caught most of the game on Thursday night with the Cowboys. They were much better than I thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
And I thought the Browns did all right.
Yeah, interesting weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I know you were texting me particularly in the first half of the Jets game when they were appalling, weren't they?
When Darnold threw, I forget who was it.
It was Robbie Anderson.
Two ex-Jets. Yeah.
Robbie Anderson touchdown. Donald also walked through for a touchdown as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
The Jets lost Mekhi Becton to a dislocated knee, and it just kind of all unraveled. But they were much better in the second half, the Jets. They got it together a little bit.
Yeah.
CJ Mosley shifted position, came into the O-line, gave him a little bit of support. He had Zach Wilson a little bit more protection, and it made a difference. The touchdown pass that he threw, where he got out of the pocket and almost improvised and threw that touchdown, I think it was in the third quarter, was fantastic. So lots of negatives in the first half, lots of positives, but I do worry that the offensive line for the Jets is going to be the weak point this year.
Possibly.
I might have to reassess.
I thought Darnold looked good.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I mean, I'm a big Sammy D fan. Obviously, I still got a couple of jerseys with his name on and stuff, but the nice thing for him is he's got a couple of weapons there now, and it helps having Christian McCaffrey there, because he was used and abused is probably the best way to say it. McCaffrey was just dumped the ball every single time.
Yeah.
But give him some weapons. You know, Robbie Anderson's no mug as a wide receiver, and Darnold played well. I hope he does well. I do. I think, you know, he's a good kid. He's got all the tools. He just has happy feet a little bit, and just flaps and stuff. But if they can iron that out of him, he's a good QB.
Yeah, definitely.
But interesting weekend. I think you said you watched the Cowboys game. Dak is back. Dak went for over 400 yards, I think.
I thought he played really well.
Yeah, considering all the sort of fuss that's been made about him and the issue with his arm injury in the preseason and really sort of limiting his throwing and what he was able to do and what we saw on Hard Knocks, that looked elite. And he really is the elite quarterback, but going up against Tom Brady, isn't it?
So, yeah.
What do you do?
Brady was just, right at the end. He was just going through the motions, wasn't he? Just kept throwing it out of play. He just did get the kit. He knew what he was doing. He was just...
Got the ball back with about a minute and 40 left on the clock.
Yeah.
And he knew he needed field position. I think the Cowboys, they squandered field position and scored too early.
Yeah.
They needed to manage the time a little bit better. But Brady, this is insane. He's got a 15-4 career record. A 15-4 career record in week one starts. It just blows my mind. That's the most by any quarterback since 1950. It's just unreal.
It's
basically the best ever. And then the Bucks, this is another one. Bear in mind, Gronkowski's only been there like a year. The Bucks are 8-0 in games where Rob Gronkowski has received one touchdown, including playoffs. Get the combination between those two is just off the chart.
The thing with Gronkowski, and Kev, I'll bring you into this bit as well. He just makes the game look really easy, doesn't he? He doesn't ever look like he's putting maximum effort in, and I know that's really doing him an injustice, but he just makes everything he does look very straightforward.
He's a unit, isn't he? He's a big, strong fella, and he's everything you want a tight end to be in an offensive.
Would he have gone on to have Ash the career that he's had, but like Brady though?
I think it's probably arguable, isn't it? They're almost like an intertwined thing, aren't they? It's what one with the other, one without the other. He had all the tools, didn't he? But I mean, with Gronk, he's got everything, hasn't he? He's, like Kev said, he's a specimen, big boy, strong. He's in peaks and troughs at the moment. He'll probably score again the next two or three weeks, and he won't do anything until the playoffs. But the pair of them, and then you check downtown Antonio Brown into the mix as well, and it was almost like watching NFL 2013 again, wasn't it? You know, with the old boys playing.
For Brown, really good.
Really impressive game, really impressive sort of run out, and obviously that was the Thursday night game. Last night's game, the sort of overnight last night, Monday into Tuesday, was an interesting one. I don't know if any of the bets, I don't know, Kev, if you've caught any of the Manning cast, as it's been called.
I've seen a few clips of it on Twitter,
I'll nail my colours to the mast. I think their sense of humour is brilliant, and I know people will probably disagree. I like that dry, sarcastic sense of humour. For those people who don't know, basically it's a giant front room, and Peyton was in this giant front room, and his brother Eli was on Zoom or whatever. And rather than commentary on the game was on three quarters of the screen, and the two brothers just talked their way through the game. And they ripped the mickey out of each other. Eli started, at one point, Peyton's put a helmet on and he's trying to show what's happening. And Eli started taking the mickey, going, "Oh, I can't believe you've managed to get a helmet big enough to go over your head since you've retired." And it was brilliant. It was great fun. And the Raiders came out with a 33-27 victory over the Ravens, which was possibly a little bit of a turn up for the books. But I can see Dan's got his thumbs up there. And Dan's probably quite happy after the weekend as well, Dan?
I am, yeah. Yeah, I was. I think it was a big game, really, for the Steelers, this one.
Yeah.
I thought that was the result of the weekend, I thought.
Massive result. 23-16 win against the Bills.
Nobody predicted that, did they, anywhere?
No, and I think put the Bills in as one of the stronger teams in this season, particularly with what they've done at quarterback, tying Allen down to a long-term contract. I thought the Steelers were strong there, which was really good. And Ben looked good. Ben looked all right from what I've seen on the highlights.
Certainly the second half.
Yeah, he did. And Tomlin's got them ticking again. You know, they'll always do well, won't they? They'll start the season well. And it's just whether they can, last year they were superb.
Whether he can last. Yeah.
Absolutely. Couple of other bits and pieces, because this could turn into an all-night NFL show.
I'm
aware of that. Couple of other takeaways which were really interesting. Obviously, the Trevor Lawrence made his NFL debut, the number one pick, in a 21-37 loss to the Texans. Big takeaway for him was that he threw three interceptions. He never threw three interceptions in 40 college games for Clemson. So it was a bit of a welcome to the NFL for Trevor Lawrence there, which was an interesting one for him. We had the Vikings going on there. They had an overtime loss to the Bengals. It's great to see Joe Burrow back. Kev, I don't know if you saw any of Burrow looking nice and hot and quite sharp. And that was a lovely little sort of late win there. I think it was a field goal with about 2 seconds to go, which won it. The Browns, Kev, unreal. And I watched this from a distance. The Browns flew into a lead against the Chiefs, the much vaunted Chiefs. Chiefs came back to win 33-29, but having caught the highlights myself, and I care would have seen the game. The Browns didn't let themselves down in a way. They're playing the number one team in there, and when you've got a team with Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Tyree Hill, it's elite.
It's the toughest game of the season. Yeah, toughest absolutely. Game of the season for me. Toughest start of anybody in the league, and they damn near won it. 53 minutes, the Chiefs were behind in that game, and. You talk about Brady's stats. Have you seen Mahomes' stats for the month of September?
It's incredible. I was listening the other day.
Nine wins, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it might be 11 now, including today, but 35 touchdowns. He's never thrown an interception in September.
Yeah.
Mahomes, Hill, Kelce between them, that's enough to win you lots of games. Nobody else might get as close as they did to beating them. So I was encouraged.
I was listening to a podcast before the weekend, and it basically said the Browns need to keep the Chiefs to 28 points or less to win it, and what a prediction that was. But also, I don't know if you've caught any of the around the NFL podcast this week on the back of the weekend.
I've caught the Sunday night, Monday morning one.
Yeah, I mean, they are talking about Mahomes as the greatest quarterback ever, aren't they? On that,
yeah,
and it's a big show, isn't it? I mean, with Brady still playing and all the things that he's achieved,
arm throw he's got.
Which is incredible.
None of the others can do that.
Yeah, that's incredible. That is.
He can throw it around an offensive, a defensive lineman, and into a space, and none of the others can do that.
If he keeps fit and he keeps himself together, he will go down as the greatest, won't he?
They called him the Michael Jordan, didn't they? We're watching Michael Jordan happen in the NFL, and I think that's a great analogy.
Yeah, that was Romo saying that, wasn't it? Tony Romo said that, so that's high praise indeed.
He's got a long way to go, though, isn't he? I mean, Brady, I mean, he's got a long way to go and a lot to do yet before he's the
greatest. Well, he has, but he's got one ring already, hasn't he? So, and how old is he?
Yeah, that's fair. But
24? 20,
is he that old? 24? Is he? I thought he was younger than that, but...
He's about 24, I think.
Okay.
He's still got to get into another Super Bowl loss, isn't he? I mean, he's got a lot to do yet before he's at Brady's level.
Listen, the interesting thing for me, Kev, and you know, you can add to this, the Browns, the last two times that the Browns have faced the Chiefs, they've almost gone in with this mentality of, we've got to get ourselves 20 points in front. We've got to go out aggressive, go hard early. That's how you get the Chiefs on the rocks. And they've very nearly done it twice.
They have nearly done it, but... It's doing it, isn't it? You know, they almost got ahead too early, almost for me, because then.
And the Browns are good at that, aren't they? Because the Browns did that to the Steelers in postseason as well. They came out hard and fast and built up a lead straight away.
I'm really excited about the Browns this season. I think it's going to be a really interesting season for them.
Well, that division is great, isn't it, with the Steelers as well? Mm. So that game, the Chiefs game, essentially boiled down to a really uncharacteristic fumble by Chubb. If he doesn't fumble that ball, I think they'll probably score again, and we'd be talking about a different game. But it's one game in, isn't it? You know, it's
absolutely.
It's already really exciting.
As a Jets fan, though, I look on with envy. You've got an identity. There's an identity now: hard, fast, strong, aggressive. You know, and that's built up over the last couple of years, hasn't it? And you know what you're going to get now, which is brilliant to see.
Let's chat about the greatest guy of all time in the NFL. Let's talk about the Rams and their head coach.
A very pleasing opening.
I love him. Did anybody see the post-match dressing room video?
No,
of the Rams. It was McVay. It is absolute. Cringiest best, Kev. You'd have loved it.
Did he have a shirt on?
Yeah, he had the shirt on. Yeah, he
was, unfortunately,
he was giving balls out as prizes to people in the big. It was great. It was McVay at his best.
They were awesome. I woke up and watched the second half, and the most outrageous pass from Matthew Stafford to Cup for a touchdown. Just like the longest throw I've ever seen. It was insane. Really, really pleased with Stafford. Already so much better than Jared Goff.
We talked about it, didn't we, the other week? You've got a competent quarterback there now.
Yeah. To on top of, you know, the arguably the best defence, you know, is exciting. It's really,
it's good.
Really exciting.
It is good. I think the other result worth touching on before we sort of move on is Lance asked every week, I think, over the summer, what's happening with Aaron Rodgers? What's happening with Aaron Rodgers?
I know.
Well, he dressed up, and not a lot happened with Aaron Rodgers, did it?
What a game that was.
On Sunday night. And I think the biggest thing, Jameis Winston absolutely lit up. The game was played down in Jacksonville because of, is it Ida? Hurricane Ida. So the game was displaced because of it. And the Saints beat them 38-3. Absolutely ripped the Packers to pieces.
Yeah.
I think this is one to watch over the next couple of weeks because... The way the off-season's been for Green Bay, this could implode big style if they don't get themselves up and running in the next couple of weeks. So
that wasn't the script at all, was it? No, the script was Rodgers keeps him hanging on all summer and then blows everybody away. But that was a long way from that.
Yeah, they were worse than the Jets could have been, which is quite amusing. So yeah, no, a good one. Jets have got the Patriots this weekend, so. See how we got on with Mac Jones.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how that plays out. But, all in all, a really interesting opening weekend.
Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed
great
it.
To have, great to have football back. I'm just going to touch on really, really quickly just a couple of stories that have come out of the baseball, which would be remiss not to mention it. The Giants and the Dodgers have both qualified overnight for the postseason, even though there's 3 weeks left, so it shows that their domination at the moment. They're in the postseason already. Looks like the 2023 All-Star Game is going to be in Seattle, and obviously we had the issues of it moving it earlier this year. Next year's at Dodger Stadium, and they've already announced, funnily enough, they've done 2022, 2023, 2026 is in Philly, and I'm going to pose a question here. People are laughing, so I'm not going to look down at my phone because it's going to be something that makes me laugh. But the 2026 game is in Philly, and I've got to pronounce this correctly, it's the semi-quincentennial. Does anybody know what the semi-quincentennial is?
It's before the final quincentennial? I don't know.
Do you know, Kev?
250 years?
Sorry?
250 years?
Yeah, spot on. Yeah, the 2026 game is in Philadelphia because it's America's 250th birthday. So that's already been announced as well. And there we go. Cool. Busy weekend.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Love that. Right. The question of the week, of course. What was your biggest surprise in sport? Is that right, Lance? Have I got that right?
Yeah, you got it right. Yeah, that's it. What's your favourite surprising moment in sport?
I'm glad I've gone in early on this one. I'm going for Leicester City winning the Premier League. Mm. Even in the March of that season, I can remember being on social media going, they'll blow up, they won't do it. And I think they might have gone away to Man City and won 3-1 sort of in the February, March time. And even then, I still didn't believe it. That, for me, though, just blew my mind. Leicester City winning the Premier League.
Yeah, it's especially in the way modern sport is and the money that's thrown around at that level.
Yeah, Wes Morgan scoring the goal which effectively won him the title 24 hours before at Old Trafford and things like that. It was just
mental.
Yeah, fairy tale stuff.
Good stuff. Right, your tune of the week.
Yeah, I've gone for something I felt was quite apt. I've gone for my favourite solo artist. I think Dan and Lance love him as well. It's The Boss, and it's quite an apt song with The Rising.
It's Jack's Radio.
Hi, it's Keiko from Baxter here, and you're listening to Jack's Radio.
That's The Boss and The Rising. It's Jack's Radio. You listen to Brimo on The Season Ticket. I love that song. Just 20 years ago since the towers came down, and he just caught the mood of a nation with that song, didn't he? I just thought it was absolutely brilliant. Lovely, lovely. Well, great pick, Ash. Morgs, you need to get on the NFL train, don't you? Because you were a little bit lost then.
Yeah, I need to clue myself up, boys. I had zero clue what you were chatting about.
Okay, need to Google the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield and come and join me and Kev on our little couch.
Don't do that. Definitely don't do that.
Don't listen to Dan. You've got to remember, Dan only looks boring sports. Okay, so just come and join me and Kev on the Browns couch. Isn't that right, Kev?
No. What he wants to do.
Certainly never boring.
No, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
What Morgs wants to do is Sean McVay swimming pool. Google that and then sorted.
Yeah, you won't never pick him then, Morgs, I promise you. Right, we best get on because we've had one of you on and we're running out of time already. So, Dan, how are we doing? Good to see you back, mate. Good to see you.
Yeah, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm good. So tell me what's been going on in the world of F1. I thought it was all over.
It was a summer break, and it's all back with full-on speed to the end of the year now, for the end of the season.
Cool.
With Max and Lewis going at it, yeah.
Good stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on, isn't there?
So we've had three races in the last 3 weeks. So it was a triple header, and that's a lot, particularly for the teams and drivers, seeing that they turn up to a venue on, like, the Tuesday, and they race to the Sunday. You know, they're leaving on the Monday, then they have to go to the next track.
Yeah,
it's a real full-on schedule for them. So it's it's been very interesting. So we had a race in Spa in Belgium, which was an utter farce. So we had qualifying on the Saturday. The Spa circuit's in the Ardennes forest in Belgium. The weather is often terrible.
Yeah,
you know, it's the way it is. Often lots of rain. Qualifying was fantastic, and George Russell in the wet in a Williams, a car that's been pretty much at the back of the grid for three seasons, stuck it in second in qualifying, which was amazing. So fantastic display by George, who has been also rewarded with a seat at Mercedes next year on a long term deal.
Yeah,
which is fantastic for British motorsport. But the Sunday was an absolute joke. So it was horrendous, horrendous conditions, like absolutely pouring down, you know, rivers of water down the track. There was no way they could put on a race. Some people think cynically they put the cars out behind the safety car for four laps, brought them back in, said it was too wet, but by doing four laps, the fear say they've put on a race, and therefore people tickets don't need to be refunded, etc.
Okay.
It was really cynical. The fear was saying that they were trying to wait for a gap in the weather, but they were, with all the technology that they've got, they know that there's no gap coming. People pretty sure it was just done for commercial money reasons. It was pretty poor, really.
Yeah.
They have promised to learn from that. They've got a lot of learning to do, and I think they're taking on board a lot of things. So moving on from the debacle at Spa, really. We then had, so, you know, what was a really bad weekend for F1, we then had an absolutely amazing weekend. So we went to Zandvoort in Holland.
Yeah.
And obviously Max Verstappen, being a Dutch driver, has built up a massive following the last few years that he's been in F1. And, you know, loads of tracks around the world now, you just see this huge orange army of fans following Max. And they have been waiting and waiting and waiting for a Dutch Grand Prix to be back on the calendar. And it was on, and it absolutely delivered. It was like all weekend. It was like a football atmosphere. It was unbelievable. Like orange flares going off. You could hear the crowd louder than you could hear the cars. It was just an incredible weekend. And Max Verstappen delivered. You know, sometimes there's a moment in sport when a new person. So it's sort of in the sport, and you think, yeah, they're very good, but can they deliver under immense pressure? In that real cauldron environment, all weekend, Max delivered. He stuck the car on pole. He won the race. You know, he became a real star that weekend. You know, that was a fantastic weekend for the sport and for Max Verstappen and for the championship race, which was fantastic.
Yeah, really good.
It was just really, really good. And then we went to Monza in Italy this weekend at the Autodromo Nazionale di Monza.
Can you say that again?
The Autodromo Nazionale di Monza.
Anybody else turned on by that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm at an Italian restaurant.
Yeah. Go on, let's have the hat trick. Come on, Dan.
Okay, at the Autodromo Nazionale di Monza.
I love the fact you just do it. That's my favourite part of that. You just, yeah, I'll do it again.
I'll do it again. So we had that huge accident at Silverstone when I was there, which, you know, really ignited the season, really ignited the rivalry between Max and Lewis. And it happened again. So there was a coming together. You know, a big accident, Max's car ended up on Lewis's head. Thank God for the safety advances in the cars recently with the halo device.
Yeah.
It's the metal bar, because basically Lewis would be dead. Most racers are pretty sure he would be dead.
I did see, is it Jackie Stewart come out today and defend Hamilton, which is quite unusual for him, isn't it?
It's very unusual. Jackie Stewart, so very famously in Ayrton Senna's early years, after he had a few high-profile crashes with Prost, Jackie Stewart criticised Senna and basically said, you know, you're a very good racer, but you need to know basically when to stop, when not to collide with somebody. And Senna came out with this famous quote of, well, if you see a gap and you don't go for it, you're no longer a racing driver. And basically what Jackie Stewart was saying to Max Verstappen was a very, very similar thing, is, you know, you and Lewis are coming together on a lot of occasions. You know, you need to know when to just cool off a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, the one at Silverstone was marginal. It was certainly a racing incident, but it was judged that Lewis was predominantly to fault and ended up getting a penalty in the race. This time, again, it was very much a racing incident, because both could have done something to, you know, stop the collision, but it was deemed that Max was predominantly to blame this time. But at the moment, Max has got a real arrogance about himself because he came straight onto the radio and said, if you don't leave me a space, that's what happens. In other words, you know, you don't get out of my way, we're going to crash, which isn't racing. You know, it's hard and it shows a determination, but it's not racing.
Yeah.
You know, he needs to kind of rein it in a little bit. But what's really exciting is it's one of those moments where you've got a great champion in Hamilton and you've got somebody coming up who is really fighting their way in the sport. You know, so, I mean, it directly comes on to, originally you had, you know, back in the 80s, you had Senna was the upstart and Prost was the person. So you had, like, the Senna-Prost rivalry.
Yeah.
Then you had Schumacher coming up, challenging Senna. And then you had Alonso coming up, challenging Schumacher. And then you had Lewis coming up, you know, challenging Schumacher's crown. And now you've got Max coming up, challenging Lewis's crown.
Surely that's what F1 needs, though. He needs somebody challenging Hamilton. He's had it, you know, I know he's a great driver and all the rest of it, but he's had it quite easy, hasn't he, over the last few years. He's won championships. I'm not taking anything away from him by saying that, but he's won at a canter.
I get what you're saying. I wouldn't say he's had it easy.
I didn't mean it like that, but...
Yeah, you know, I know what you're saying. But you're right. The Mercedes has been a very, very fast car. And there's been no one at his level to challenge him.
Yeah.
But this year, Max is certainly on his level as a driver. And they both have the car that are comparable as well. And it's very, very interesting to see it all come out. But I just hope it... I hope all the arguments done on the track and not in the gravel pit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they both just need to learn, and they both just. I mean, there's been occasions this year when Lewis has been in the position that Max was in this weekend, and Lewis has just backed off, and you know they both lived to fight another day. Whereas whenever Max has been in that position, they've collided, i.e., Silverstone and at Monza, and Max just needs to rein it in a little bit, I think. You know, everyone knows he's a great driver. He is a great driver. They need to stop coming together.
Be interesting, definitely. It's going to be an interesting time. Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. Anything else, Dan?
Very quickly. So I'm stoked. I got my next year's Grand Prix tickets through this week. So I bought them again. Fantastic. And I was up at Silverstone a couple of weeks ago for the MotoGP.
I saw that. It was a really good weekend.
Really good. And I got to see my friend's son race as well, Alex Cook, who's the brother of... Do you remember last year when we were doing our stories? I did a story about a young kid coming up from Swindon.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's his younger brother, and he was racing there. He ended up riding off his bike. He got taken off. He had a GoFundMe to try and raise money for getting a new bike. He's now back on a new bike, and a couple of people on the bench gave some money towards that. You know, thank you very much for that. It's fantastic. And he's back in the season now, and it was really good to see. So it's fantastic. Yeah, really good.
Excellent. Okay. So the question of the week. What has been the greatest surprise in sport? Is that right, Lance?
No. What is your favourite surprising moment in sport?
That's obviously a semi. That's
favourite surprising moment. Yeah, yeah. Favourite surprising moment. So I was going to go originally with, and it probably still is, to be honest, is the miracle in Medina, the 2012 Ryder Cup.
Right.
When Europe were completely out of it, and then USA started the day and just thought, you know, it's ours, they're all cheering and whooping and hollering, and then Europe just came back and won it by a point. It was amazing.
Yeah.
But I thought, well, I've got to have an F1 one, haven't I? So I thought I'll go Lewis Hamilton in 2008, winning his first championship on the last corner of the last race of the season, where he was on the wrong tyres at the time. He got overtaken by Timo Glock. Felipe Massa crossed the line, thought he'd won the championship and was cheering. It rained right at the right moment. Lewis overtook Timo Glock on the last corner and won the championship. It was amazing.
So my favourite, biggest surprising moment, can I take part in this, Lance, or not?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, go for it.
So my most surprising moment on the season ticket then was when this happened a few weeks ago.
Let's all strap ourselves in because... We're expecting a blockbuster answer even to the question that you've given us for this week's show. So what is your weird or unusual or unconventional crush? Hit us.
Well,
So, okay. So I think Laddie's right in what you say. It's not that weird if you have got a crush on him, you know. So, you know, I was a young boy, and you know, this woman I always thought was a complete dream, and that was someone called Leslie Joseph, who played Dorian Green from Birds of a Feather. And I'll tell you what, she's still hot now, 100%. So that is my.
So Dan. Oh my day. So your new biggest surprising moment in sporting history is going to be this, I think. So our people have spoken to her people, and this has happened.
No.
Hello, Daniel Knight.
Guess who? Incredible.
Oh, yes. Leslie Joseph, otherwise known as Dorian Green, the Queen of Chigwell, wearing my leopard skin jacket just for you, Daniel Knight, because, Daniel, I've got a very, very special message for you from your colleagues on the bench. They say, would I please tell you that you have been sorely missed on the Season Ticket podcast and Jack's radio show, and you're a very, very naughty boy if you stay away this long again. So, that's the message, Daniel. I have delivered it. I'm not quite sure what it means, Daniel. Who are your colleagues? And what bench are they on? And what is your Season Ticket podcast and Jack's radio show? And how long have you been staying away? Oh, Daniel, there's so many things to ask you, and I'm sure I won't get the answer. But anyway, I've delivered the message. I've been a very, very good girl. I'm sending you lots of love. And a huge virtual Essex hug. And don't forget, Daniel, do not be a very naughty boy and stay away this long again. Right, I say goodbye. Lots and lots of love to you.
Amazing.
That is the most incredible thing that's ever happened to me in my entire life.
It's pretty special, right?
That is unbelievably special. I need some tissues now.
There you go. Our people spoke to her people, and that's what happens on the scene.
To wipe my eyes at me.
It's Jack's Radio. A bit of you too. This is what Dan chose this week.
You're listening to Jack's Radio.
Love that. That's you two at probably the finer. I just think that's a great tune. Angel of Harlem from the Rattle and Hum album. So, yeah, Leslie Joseph on the Season Ticket. Is that now your new most surprising moment in sport? Your new favourite surprising moment in sport?
It's my favourite surprising moment. That was absolutely incredible.
That was you have Kev to thank for that, by the way. Kev sorted all that out. Incredible. So it was absolutely brilliant. When I saw that, all my family have seen that in the last week. I mean, you've got to see this. So
absolutely incredible.
And credit to her, she did a brilliant job.
She did, yeah, she did. It wasn't just a quick one line. She was really into it.
Yeah, she was. Way. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's because we sent her a picture of you doing the old dance. And, you know, and you can't remember what the dance was now, but there's been a few. Yeah.
What a woman.
We'll have to dig those up, won't we? Anyway, there you go. Right. No pressure, Morgs. But you're now following that.
Yeah, thanks for him. Thanks. Yeah, everyone's listening to me now, aren't they? Absolutely.
How are you doing?
How am I meant to follow that? How am I meant to follow that, mate?
I don't know.
I'm good, Brim, thank you.
Let's go for it. Come on, what we got?
Yeah, and do you know what? I'm going to kill the mood straight away. I'm really, really sorry, Dan, but I'm going to start with a little sad one because we have to mention this. You may remember a while back we talked about the incredible story of Jean-Pierre Adams, the footballer who had a knee operation that went wrong. He was in a coma for 39 years. He sadly passed away a couple of weeks ago. I wanted to come back to it just to touch on, you know, it had to be mentioned again, the incredible story of devotion and love from his wife who tended to him in his state for 40 years. Very sad that he's passed away. And I hope his wife can finally find some peace. So a sad story, but I thought we had to mention it, Brim, and sort of Mark going back to the story that we mentioned a while
back. Yeah, no, so, definitely. It's an incredible story.
Yeah, amazing story.
But you're right, that's definitely killed the mood.
Yeah, well, there you go. I aim to please.
That's good, man. Right, go on then.
I've also turned the phone over, so I'm not even looking at the chat for the next 5 minutes, so I'm just going to leave it there. So loads happening in football, so let's crack on. It's a joy to watch an England team that's worth watching. I used to get really fed up of international breaks and not be interested at all, but England are great, aren't they? 2-4-0 wins, Hungary and Andorra, a 1-1 draw v Poland, which was a great result, although it didn't feel like it perhaps on the evening when we conceded so late, but great to see an England side playing like they do, in a good, sensible way, good bunch of lads, well managed, and a real credit to the nation. We mentioned Nema Raducanu earlier. I'd say the England team are just a feel-good factor at the moment for me, and I know a lot of you guys on the bench feel the same.
Yeah.
Going to mention Cristiano Ronaldo. He's been all over the news. Obviously, he's moved to Man United fairly recently, and he's got his first goal, and he scored in the Champions League last night. He's also broken the international world goals record for men. He scored 2 late goals in their win against the Republic of Ireland. They were behind until the 89th minute, and he scored 2 goals for the 96th minute. So typical Ronaldo storybook, you know, comic book hero, isn't he? Those 2 goals move into 111 in the all-time men's international list, and 2 ahead of former Iran striker Ali Daei. So, you know, great achievement for Ronaldo, and he's certainly back with a bang, isn't he? It's the Champions League as well. I said there was loads going on. There was a surprise defeat for Man United at Young Boys last night. Early red card for Wan-Bissaka and a late error by Jesse Lingard cost them in that 2-1 defeat. Chelsea had a winning start, 1-0 versus Zenit St. Petersburg. Another goal for Lukaku, who's just looking lethal for Chelsea at the moment. An interesting one from last night as well for me, Brim, was Bayern strolled past Barcelona in the Nou Camp, 3-0.
Yeah.
So perhaps a sign of life without Messi in the Champions League for Barcelona, and perhaps changing of the guard. And this story made me chuckle from last night as well in the Champions League. Anthony Taylor, the English ref, he almost had his Graham Pohl moment on Tuesday night. So I don't know if you boys have seen this. He showed Dinamo Kiev's Denis Garmash a 2nd yellow card and then a red in their tie with Benfica on Tuesday night. The only problem was he wasn't on a yellow. So it wasn't a red card because it was his first yellow card. He was walking. It got noticed, and then luckily it was sort of got corrected, and he called him back, and he carried on playing the game. But not a great moment for Anthony Taylor. But just goes to show that refs are under that big pressure, aren't they? So they can get it wrong in the big moments.
Absolutely.
And tonight in the Champions League, and I'm just going to try and check the scores as I'm talking. It's Liverpool versus Milan. I think that was currently Milan with 2-1 up at halftime. Oh, it's 2-2 now. So Liverpool 2, Milan 2 as we speak. Mo Salah's just equalised for Liverpool. And Man City are comfortable, it looks like, against RB Leipzig. They're 3-1 up. That's actually Pep Guardiola's 300th game in charge of Man City, I read earlier. So
is that really?
It's a big number, that, isn't it? So a big number. So, and of course, we've had all the talk about how Pep must win the Champions League this season, but we'll see. He's still a great in my eyes. I'm going to dart across the Premier League. Brim, Ronaldo mentioned 2 goals in a 4-1 win v Newcastle. He was always going to score on that return, wasn't he? And
yeah.
Never seen so many Ronaldo shirts in a stadium, and fans staying afterwards and actually making some noise at Old Trafford, which is a rarity. Chelsea 3-0 against Villa. 2 more for Lukaku. I've mentioned he's made such a difference to Chelsea already. He's one of those strikers who is not in the game for 90 minutes and comes away scoring 2 goals. And he's
got a proper coach now, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got proper coach, and also his development in that time, you know, sort of away from Chelsea, 8 years he was away.
Yeah.
He's got to be up there, I think, with probably one of the top strikers in the world. So we can debate that another time.
Definitely.
Liverpool won 3-0 at Leeds. That included Mo Salah's 100th Premier League goal. So he joins the 100 club. He becomes the 30th player to reach the 100 Premier League goals tally. The bits that I was really impressed with, he's only the 2nd African player to do so. Didier Drogba was the first, but most impressively, he's the 5th fastest player to reach 100 goals in the Premier League. The 4 that he's behind are pretty special: Shearer, Kane, Aguero and Henry. So Salah's 5th in that list for getting the 100 goals quickly. So that's a great, great achievement. Going to mention Crystal Palace. Odson Edouard made his debut for Palace. He came on as a substitute and he scored 28 seconds later. That's the fastest ever goal by a Premier League substitute. It was a 3-0 victory for Palace after Spurs had a man sent off. So that brings an abrupt end to Spurs' 100% record. First defeat for Nuno Espirito Santo as Spurs manager. Their North London rivals, Arsenal, they won their relegation six-pointer, if it's possible to have one of those in September. They beat Norwich 1-0. It's their first goal of the season they scored as well, which is amazing. Over 5 hours of football, Arsenal hadn't scored until they sneaked past Norwich. That's four defeats from four for Norwich. The early signs aren't encouraging for them. They're possibly in danger of becoming the most yo-yo side ever, aren't they? You know, too good for the Championship, not good enough for the Premier League. But
it's a worrying stat, that, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you look at where they've been the past few years.
Yeah,
up, down, up, down. It's
well, they're far too good for the Championship. They won the Championship, haven't they? Twice in the last 4 years. But they just go up and come straight. I mean, it is a real worry, that, and I think each division now, the gap's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The League One to the Championship's huge as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd agree. And you're almost getting sort of league and a half in between. You get six or eight sides around the top and the bottom of each division that just seem to be swapping places, which is a worry for the sport moving forward, isn't it? Wolves also scored their first goal of the season. Watford scored an own goal for them, actually, but they also scored a second. And I'm relying on pronunciation here. I need Dan to do this. Hwang Hee Chan scored the second for Wolves. They secured a 2-0 win at Watford, and he became the first Korean player to score in his Premier League debut. Brighton snatched the 90th minute winner at Brentford. They've had a good start under Graham Potter. And Everton, I caught a bit of Everton on Monday night. They went 1-0 behind against Burnley. 6 minutes later, they're three goals in 6 minutes to make them 3-1 up. There was an absolute pearler of a goal from Andros Townsend, which I don't know if you boys have seen, but talk about top bins from 30 yards. Townsend and Damari Gray are on the score sheet for Everton. They cost Everton under 1.7 million, I think, between them. So they look like bargain buyers early season. And interestingly, we talked a while back about Rafa Benitez needing a good start. He certainly had that. They're up the top with some other teams on 10 points. So a honeymoon period still, and I'm sure the knives will come out for Benitez when it all starts to go wrong, which invariably it does for Everton at some point. But a great start for him on the blue side of Stanley Park. I'm diving into the Women's Super League. We've had two rounds of that now. Arsenal followed up their impressive opening day victory over Chelsea. They routed Reading 4-0 at the weekend. There was a brace from Vivian Medema. Chelsea also beat Everton 4-0. There were two goals from their star striker, Sam Kerr. There was a controversial moment in the Man City Spurs game. Now, we'll have to get this out on socials. I've watched this back. This is unbelievable. Spurs late winner involves one of the clearest handballs you'll ever see. Spurs sub Rosella Iain basically went up for a cross and it was like a volleyball shot, sort of knocked it down almost with both arms. It bounced off Steph Horton and then bounced into the net of Karima Taib, the Man City goalkeeper. How the handball was not given, I'll never ever know. And Gareth Taylor is a name that resonates with a lot of us on the bench. He was apoplectic after the game. I saw the officials didn't spot that. You couldn't believe that, you know, four officials in the ground and none of them spotted it. But that's the game, isn't it? And it's a cruel way to end Man City's 33-game unbeaten run at home. There was defeat for Leicester in their first Women's Super League game, 3-1 to Manchester United. But Brighton are top of the table at the moment. They won 5-0 away at Birmingham. So it's been a really exciting start to the Women's Super League. There's been a lot of teams playing their first home fixtures at the main sort of men's team stadium. So Arsenal played at the Emirates. Everton played their first game at Goodison. There's been high profile TV coverage. We mentioned the TV deal a few weeks back. There's been BBC coverage, there's been Sky coverage, and fair play, they've given it the full beans on Sky as well. They've had, you know, the magic boards out and so on, and really good punditry, and that's been good stuff and positive signs for the Women's Super League and good role models for the young girls coming through, so good to see. And just quickly, a last couple of few bits. In the EFL, Bournemouth took top spot on Tuesday night. They won 2-1 against QPR. We've mentioned Lois Hatter's big game for them tonight. It was 0-0 last I checked, but we're all looting for the next half hour or so at least, aren't we?
Yeah.
Blackpool beat Fulham 1-0 at the weekend, so that ended Fulham's unbeaten start to the season. Birmingham beat Derby to go up to fourth, so that's kind of the top teams in the Championship. Sheffield United finally got their first win of the season. They thumped Peterborough 6-2 at Bramall Lane. And Forest are in trouble. They remain rooted to the bottom. They had a 2-1 defeat to Cardiff. They are struggling. Pointless. Chris Hughton's got to be under pressure. It's another one of those clubs that looks like they should be massively achieving, and they just can't get it right. You know, it's another car crash of a club at the moment. So interesting times and tough times for Forest. Into League One, Ipswich are another big club that are really struggling. They were beaten 5-2 at Portman Road on Saturday against Bolton. They've had American ownership, big investment, lots of new signings. Paul Cook's gone there, lauded as a great manager, but it is not happening. So he's got to be under pressure, surely. Sunderland are top after beating Accrington. And Lincoln brought Cambridge's unbeaten home run to an end with an emphatic 5-1 victory. And I see as well, I think Michael Appleton's back on the sidelines at Lincoln, which is good to see after treatment for cancer. Into League Two, quickly, the headline I'm going to mention, Sutton United had their first victory in the EFL. They beat Stevenage 2-1 on Saturday. They followed it up with a 1-0 Tuesday triumph over Hartlepool to move them up the league table. And with my gas hat on, I'd like Sutton to stop winning now, please. They've had plenty of fun in League Two and they can stop winning because they're getting away from us. Another club that are struggling, Mansfield, Nigel Clough's side. They suffered their fifth successive defeat in a 3-1 loss to Walsall at the weekend. Quickly into Europe, Jose Mourinho had his 1,000th game in charge. Roma won 2-1 against Sassuolo. He's won 3 from 3, so he's off to a very Jose Mourinho start in Italy. Going to mention Ashes hero Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He returned from a 4-month injury layoff. He scored in Milan's 2-0 over Lazio. That means he scored for 24 successive seasons, and he's become Serie A's oldest ever foreign scorer at the age of 39, putting some of us boys on the bench to shame there. And I'm going to finish, Brim, on career hat-tricks. Bear with me. Samuel Eto'o scored 8 hat-tricks. Dimitar Berbatov, Wayne Rooney, Miroslav Klose, Fernando Torres scored 8. Radamel Falcao, Filippo Inzaghi, Michael Owen, Robin van Persie all scored 10 career hat-tricks. Why I'm mentioning that, and my final stat for the night, Erling Haaland scored a hat-trick for Borussia Dortmund in their 4-3 win over Bayer Leverkusen at the weekend. He's 21 years old. That's his 11th career hat-trick.
Mental,
that
isn't it?
Boy is going places.
It's mental. It's crazy, the stats he delivers week on week, almost, it feels. Brilliant stuff. Thanks, Morris. That's absolutely brilliant little roundup of the football. What is your favourite ever sporting surprise?
So this one I watched in a pub. It's the Rugby World Cup 2015. South Africa 32, Japan 34 is one that sprung to mind. I happened to watch it in a pub in Twickenham. I went to the France-Italy game, which is the game after that. One of those great games where you've got half an eye on it in the pub, then half the pub's got an eye on it, then the whole pub's got an eye on it. We had a last-minute try, a big win for massive underdogs. It was Eddie Jones was in charge of Japan at the time, and it was a coaching masterclass. They just played an amazing game, beat the much-fancied Springboks, and when they scored their last try to win it in the 80th minute, the whole pub was bouncing up and down. We're all Japan fans. Brilliant. So that was incredible. Incredible for me.
Good stuff. Right, music. You've gone for another track from Inhaler.
Yeah, loving the band, loving their album at the minute. And this track is My Honest Face.
Good stuff.
Someone better tell Jack that we've stolen his radio. Excuse me, we've got Jack's radio.
Big fan of those boys. That is Inhaler. It's Jack's Radio. It's a season ticket. And that is My Honest Face. Band's called Inhaler. Brilliant stuff. Love that. Brilliant stuff, Morgs. Thank you very much for that. Kev, how are we doing? How's the World Super League going?
Good evening. Yeah, it's really getting to the sharp end now. We're getting towards the end of the season, which is all a little bit strange because everybody's played sort of different numbers of games, but they decided the same as last season because of COVID protocols that they're going to decide things after this next round of games on percentage points of wins rather than on points.
Okay.
So they did the same thing last season. I think it probably is the best thing to do because some teams have played like 17 games, some teams have played 20 games. So it's just the best way they're going to do it. And I think they will end up with the right results from doing it. What we have had in the last few weeks is Catalans sealing the league leader's shield with an absolutely astonishing comeback against St. Helens during Magic Weekend. So Magic Weekend, they play all the games at St. James's Park. Previously, they've done it at the Millennium Stadium, but they've used St. James's Park recently. So in the game between Catalans and St. Helens, with 4 minutes left, St. Helens were 30 points to 12 up, and Catalans ended up winning 31-30. So it's absolutely amazing. They won it with a golden point in extra time. They basically scored, I think, 4 tries in 3 minutes. It's remarkable to, that's not the sort of thing you see in rugby at all, really.
Yeah.
But the shield itself is a reward for consistency. They've been by far the best side, and that win against Saints sort of sealed that, really, and they made it clear that they were. They then celebrated it the following week by losing at home to Huddersfield. I think that was just a case of after the Lord Mayor's show. You know, once teams have nailed something, got something in the bag, then they lose sort of the next games. In other sort of news around there, my team Castleford, they were absolutely superb in beating Hull 23-12. And then the following Monday, they played Wigan, the only game I've managed to see them all season, and were utterly dreadful. They lost 22-0. They didn't score a point, didn't look like scoring a point. Interestingly, it was the first game back for the captain, Michael Shenton. And he'd been out with a facial injury for a while, and he did look off the pace to me, and it was a bit of a humbling, really, for somebody coming back who's like the captain. And then, as he's announced today, he's going to retire. And there's loads of players across the league retiring, announcing their retirement. There's loads of coaches announcing that they're going to be moving on. We already knew that Daryl Powell was leaving Cass to go to Warrington.
Yeah.
So Jesse Senulafeo, who's been a huge player for them for like 4 years, he's announced he's leaving. There's no news on where he's going. I think I think he's more likely to go home to Australia. Alex Foster is leaving. Shenton obviously just said he's leaving. Ollie Holmes had already mentioned that he was leaving, but he's got a neck injury, so he's played his last game for Castleford. And interestingly, then we played Hull KR and lost to them as well. We have a player called Greg Minikin, who has announced that he's going to Warrington. Now, he used to play for Powell at Castleford. So there's quite a lot of nepotism going on. I think he's getting his players that he likes in to go to Warrington with him. There's some big games coming up then. So we're getting towards the end of the season. Basically, Cass play Warrington tomorrow. Castleford would have to win to make the top six, to make the playoff sort of picture. I got a feeling, I got a feeling in my bones they might not win it, because Warrington already in the playoffs, they're a good side. And I just think it might be a step too far to try and win. I think we were sort of relying on beating Hull KR and didn't manage to. Hull KR have turned themselves around this season. They are pushing to be in the playoffs as well, having traditionally been one of the bottom two. I predicted they would be bottom two this season. So they've got a massive game on Friday against Leeds. So there's basically three teams vying for two places to get into the playoffs. So Castleford, Leeds and Hull KR. So we'll have to see what goes on there. I've got a horrible feeling that it'll be Leeds and Hull KR that get through. And that'll be a bit of a damp squib to end Daryl Powell's campaign at Castleford. And those outside the actual results of the games, there was an announcement this week that the London Broncos are going to go part-time next season. So they play in the Championship, but they've been a bit of a yo-yo team for the last few seasons between the Super League itself and the Championship, which is the second division. But the Sky are paying less money for the product this season. Previously, there's been £40 million, I think, Sky have paid for rugby league coverage. But it's now somewhere between 20 and 30 because of COVID restrictions. They've negotiated less money. So there's less of a cut of that goes down to the lower leagues. So London have worked really hard to try and foster the game in the capital and try and get something going outside of the traditional sort of northern strongholds. And I just thought if they could have held on a little bit longer, the fact that the Catalans have made such a great fest of things this season, perhaps the game could diversify and could go further afield. But it's just financially, it's not going to be viable for them. So they're going to have to go non-league. So I'm assuming that means they'll probably have a core of full-time professionals. And then maybe 10 or 12 of them, and then the rest will be sort of young local findings. They do have the sort of security blanket of the fact that they've signed the deal with Wimbledon to use Plough Lane, so that they have an established home and a base where they can work from. So I think there is still room for them to do a bit better. If they got back up to the Super League, I no doubt they would go professional again. They've announced the dates for the Rugby League World Cup for next year. Basically, it's just a week later, a year later. So the final's still going to be at Old Trafford, so and our tickets are still viable. So we just have to make sure we've got space in our diaries.
Yes.
A week and a year later than we did have this time around.
53 weeks.
And fingers crossed, they'll do it. Again, as I've mentioned before and moaned before, the Union Autumn Internationals haven't been called off, so they're still coming over here. I've banged on about that. I'm not gonna moan about that any further. One other interesting story, which touches both codes actually, is that the University of South Wales have done a study into contact and collisions, and they've shown that players actually have a measurable loss of cognitive function after just one season of professional rugby. So they've done intensity studies on damage that's done to sort of brain function. And I think it sort of slipped out as quite a small story, but I think it's a massive story really with what's gone on with lots of players, particularly in Union as well, that have been suffering with dementia earlier and earlier. That I think that wondering whether it's going to end up with us having any sort of rule changes eventually, because I've already noticed there's a change, certainly at Union, I've noticed there's a change in the way tackles are sort of policed. That's going to be one to look out for.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Interesting times, then.
I had a little look at the cricket,
yep.
Just because Lowy's not around.
Of course, yeah.
Just a bit depressing, really. You know, they've the test side, basically, they got an amazing win at Headingley and then just followed up with a completely feeble result at the Oval and losing that game, unable to make much of a fist of chasing 368 it was to win. We lost 4 wickets for 6 runs. It's like the old days, isn't it? We've just got this thing. I think our batters is the issue for England. And if Root doesn't score, we don't win, basically.
Yeah.
And as I said in a previous set show, we're struggling like this. I think it's our worst test summer since 1999 at home. And this is with Root and Anderson in the side, who are two of our absolute all-time. They'd be in the top in an all-time test 11 for England, wouldn't they? So I just think there's something about the way we manage cricket in this country isn't going right. If you look at the fact that the test that was then postponed, cancelled, whatever, they recalled Leach for that. Has ever a player been so messed around as a, you know, he gets called into squads and then dropped and then not picked and called again and then sent away? We just don't show much joined up thinking in the test side. I think the loss of Stokes, because he withdrew for his own sort of sake, and Archer's injury, they were pretty massive blows, and they just go to show really that all the planning in the world. I think there's a huge sort of backroom team working on the test side. All the planning in the world won't get you ready for just little things that you can't legislate for, like injuries like that. Jimmy Anderson played every test. I'm sure that wasn't the plan. I'm sure they weren't planning to put his body under that much strain and that much pressure.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
So, yeah, again, really, England have more questions than solutions, really. And as for the county game, I think we'll just skip over that because Somerset basically haven't turned up for a month.
Fair enough. I mean, the whole pulling out of that final test was scandalous.
Yeah, well, it's obvious, isn't it?
It's about the money and the IPL.
The IPL money. That they pull the strings. And you can understand players wanting to make the IPL money. Who wouldn't want to make the most money they can make, possibly? But it's the thin end of the wedge, really, when it's starting to devalue your test cricket. And are we just playing too many different versions of cricket?
I've said that constantly. What the one thing cricket doesn't need is a whole new format of the same game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. The thing with the 100, certain people loved the 100 and said it was great, and look at the audience and stuff like that. And again, I'm saying the same things over and over again. You put cricket on telly, people can watch it, and will love it because cricket is a great sport.
Because it's cricket.
You don't have to mess around with it.
Correct. No, I totally agree with you. Totally.
I sound like such an old man.
No, you sound like my granddad, but you're absolutely, he was right, and so are you. So it's absolutely fine. What is your favourite ever sporting surprise?
You know, I had a good think about this, and then I thought, it just clicked in my head that something that just really took the world by surprise, really, was 8th of July 2014, Estadio Mineral, Belo Horizonte, Brazil 1, Germany 7.
Fair enough.
In the World Cup. When they came out holding, is it Neymar's shirt and everything, trying to get everybody worked up behind them.
The greatest 45 minutes of football I've ever seen, I think that was.
5-0 down at half time, 4 goals in 6 minutes.
In their own backyard.
I was looking into it then because I did a little bit of research on it. According to Optostats, is Fred still at Man United?
Yes.
Fred failed to make a single tackle, cross, run or interception during the match. He did, however, make 6 passes. Each one a restart following a German goal.
I think there's a few Man United fans that could probably relate to that load of stats, if I'm honest. But there we go. Right. Tell me about the band No Name Faces.
They're absolutely superb. I've come across them again in my research for my show that I do on a Friday night, the Continental Rock Fest, looking at European rock. They're a Swedish band. They're originally set up by just a freelance musician. And... They're not signed to a major label, that they've got a few, you can see some of their videos on YouTube. I think they're absolutely superb. The production on their albums for somebody who's not with a major label are excellent. So to the point where the song I chosen for tonight is actually an acoustic version of one of their songs from a year ago. It's a brilliant song. It's called Silence.
So they've been in touch with us tonight. I don't know if you know this or not.
But, I spotted that.
Yeah, they touched base with us to say thanks for playing their song. So, and right now, Sweden are listening to the station, so it could well be...
We haven't got another video to play, have we?
No, we don't have a video, but they are... Okay. Sweden are tuned in, and they may well be listening to us. So, there you go. Tune in again Friday, guys. This is your tune.
Hey, it's Dan Knight here from the Lightside Let's Go F1 show. If you like your Formula One with a sprinkling of rock music... then head over to our show on a Wednesday night between 7 and 8 p.m. on Jack's Radio.
There you go. If you love music like that, check out Kev's show Friday, 11 p.m. on Jack's Radio. Yeah, it's a good one. I love that, Kev. That's really good. Really good stuff. And if they're still listening, yeah, stick with us on Jack's Radio. But yeah, so you've got lots of good sort of bands like that you pick out of nowhere, don't you?
Blow my own trumpet, but I think this Friday night might be my best show ever.
Really? Well, you've
got to tune in now.
Yeah, yeah. So 11 p.m., stay up Friday night, have a few drinks, get your mates around, have a few beers. If you like rock music, you've got 9 o'clock with Lance. And then you've got Kev at 11 o'clock. It's a great Friday night. It's a brilliant Friday. Honestly, it's brilliant. Speaking of Lance.
Good evening.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, mate. Yeah. Yeah. Well, how are you? It's good. It's good to be back.
It's great.
It feels like ages.
I know. It's life sometimes just gets in the way a little bit, doesn't it? And it's been
a
bit chaotic over the last few weeks. And but yeah, it's great, isn't it? It's a bit like a therapy session, I think.
Yeah, it's been much, much needed, I've got to say. Yeah. Being back amongst everyone. I'm going to be missing the next 2 weeks, so it's going to be really
what?
Sad. Like,
Have you put that request in?
I'm not too sure. Have you not got it?
HR manager Ash Perry, who's the one that looks like he's paying attention the least, so that's what I called him, mate. Have you received a holiday form from Lance?
Well,
no. Not at all.
You'll have to catch me live from Cardiff Arena next week while I'm watching Green the Horizon.
Holiday denied, I think, is the answer to that, Lance, to be fair. So let's have a quick potted look at the world of wrestling.
Yeah, obviously it's been a few weeks since I last gushed about AEW, so I'll do it in a quick segment now. We had the big All Out event that took place in Chicago on September the 5th, and this is where AEW has just gone up, you know, a few levels up now. CM Punk, much talked about over August. He made his debut, first in-ring competition in 7 years. He hadn't missed a beat. Really, really good bout, albeit a bit slow-paced with Darby Allin. He came out on top, and you know, it was just full of surprises from there on in. I urge anyone who's maybe got a passing interest into wrestling, or maybe like looking, if they've been into wrestling and have been a bit like sort of out in the woods with it, to watch this event, and in particular, watch the steel cage tag match between the Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers, because it is absolutely immense. 22 minutes
masterclass, artistic cage match. It saw the Mexicans crowned as new tag team champions. Brilliant stuff. We had Ruby Soho, the former Ruby Riott in WWE. She made her debut in the Battle Royal. And if that wasn't enough, we had a final segment that saw the debuts of a certain Adam Cole and the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, the former Daniel Bryan in WWE, which was just a swerve beyond a swerve. And it's just really, really put a statement out there. That AEW, it means business. It meant business before, but it really means business now. So a real terrific night, probably one of the best pay-per-views we've had in about 20-odd years. I'm sure Ash would agree. And all eyes are turned to the Arthur Ashe Stadium, which has obviously seen a bit of history at the weekend. It's the first ever tennis venue to host a wrestling event. And the atmosphere for the US Open was immense. I can imagine... Like, there's no roof at the Arthur Ashe Stadium, but if there was, it's going to get blown off next week's Dynamite. There's going to be a rematch between Cody Rhodes and Malakai Black. That's the only thing that's set at the moment. So,
Good stuff.
Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Love it. Love it. Right. So, you set a question this week. So, what is your favourite sporting surprise ever, other than Daniel Knight getting a bit of love from Leslie Joseph?
Oh, that was sensational. That was. I'm just about getting over that now. There was a night of surprises it all out as well, which was great. But I'll be remiss if I don't mention Wales beating Belgium in Euro 2016 and their run to the semi-finals in that tournament. Big, big surprise. Absolutely loved it. Fully expecting them to get knocked out by the Belgians.
I think an amazing night. Yeah, brilliant stuff. Love that. Right. Tune then for you.
Yeah.
We're piling into it. I know you went to see them recently.
Yeah. Reeling back the years watching this lot. One of my favourite bands again. Welsh legends, they come back and done a run of shows at Slam Dunk Festival last weekend, and I think I've just about recovered from that. My vocal cords got an absolute battering. Funeral for a Friend, Into Oblivion.
There you go. Quiz next. Don't go anywhere. It will be rubbish. Well, not the quiz, but the people taking part. Sorry, Kev.
You're listening to Jack's Radio.
Let's welcome your host,
Kev Sweetness Chubb.
There you go. It's quiz time on the season tickets. Kev, what we got this week?
I've got a nice one lined up. I'm glad to see Dan's so confident. He's only just unmuted.
Well, you know.
You're still getting over.
You've had a big day.
I'm too busy just replaying the Leslie Joseph video, so I
you're going to say something else then. By me.
All right, let's crack on.
Oh, go on, Kev. Do us some enthusiasm. Come on.
Come on, then. One day, you're going to get every single question between you.
No, question one. What's that then?
Which professional footballer went 20 years between number one hits as a recording artist?
Morgs Pompey.
Brimo.
Morgs.
Kevin Keegan.
Incorrect.
Oh, that's what I was going to say as well.
Next one. Question two. Which was the first British club to reach the semi-final of the European Cup?
Dan Porter's Head.
Aberdeen.
Incorrect.
Ash Bolton. Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Incorrect.
Brimo. Celtic.
Incorrect.
Who was it then?
I'm not telling you until the end.
Ah, right. He's the moodiest quizmaster ever, isn't he?
Get one right in a minute. With Messi's departure from Barcelona, which Premier League player has now spent the most consecutive seasons at a single club which is now in a European top flight?
Pompey.
Go on, Morgs.
Mark Noble.
Correct.
Well done, Morgs.
Shout, Morgs.
That's a great show. Cool.
Question four. Who was the first British competitor to win medals in athletics at three consecutive Olympics?
Brimo.
Go on, Brim.
Davy Thompson.
Incorrect.
Lance Cardiff.
Go on, Lance.
Stephen Redgrave.
Incorrect. Usual standard. No, never mind. Steve, question Steve, five.
Steve Cram. Oh, okay.
We're moving on. You've got to say your name first.
I did. Question if you listen five. Back.
Which Somerset batsman was never capped for England but did take a catch in the 2005 Ashes first test?
Oh, I don't know the guy's name. This is where we need Lowy, isn't it? I bet Dash, I don't think Lowy would know this.
I'm so depressed.
It's a terrible performance.
Question six.
I did pre-warn everyone. Sorry.
Formula One Drivers' World Championship in 1997.
Dan Porter's head.
This is your one go, Dan.
Okay. Jacques Villeneuve.
Oh, it's correct.
Yeah. Well done, Dan. Yeah, well done. It's Dan's night.
Question seven. Which Detroit-based boxer, world champion at five different weights, was known as the Hitman?
Morgs Pompey.
No. Morgs.
Tommy Hearns.
Tommy Hearns.
Well done, Morgs.
Morgs takes a lead with one question left. How many Paralympic Games has Sarah Story competed and won medals at?
Brimo.
Ash Walton. Pompey.
Ash Walton.
Five.
Incorrect.
Dan Porter's head.
Dan Porter's head.
Four.
Incorrect.
Brimo.
That's Cardiff.
We're all saying in
three.
Incorrect.
That's Cardiff.
Vance.
Six.
Incorrect. Oh, Morgs, no. You're the last one.
Pompey. Seven.
Incorrect.
What is it? That's mental.
Morgs wins anyway. Eight. Eight.
Oh, wow.
We'd have got there in the end.
My word.
So, I would say, which one did you get wrong? Which professional footballer went 20 years between number one hits as a recording artist? Peter Shilton as part of the England World Cup squad. Which was the first British club to reach the semi-final of European Cup? Hibs.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. First British competitor to win medals in athletics at three consecutive Olympics was Steve Backley. And the Somerset batsman who was never capped for England but did take a catch in 2005 Ashes was James Hildreth.
There you are. It's the best quiz in the world with the worst competitors, I think. Morgs is quite consistent. Morgs regularly trots in two or three, doesn't he? But that was a particularly poor showing by us.
That was really poor.
So you're listening to the season ticket.
I got to get excited when the athletics won. Lance did say Steve, but it was Redgrave, not Backley.
Yeah, didn't really happen for him.
No.
Right. So we're on parade this week. I mean, we're at games this weekend. We're at the gas, are we? Apart from Dan. What are you up to this weekend, Dan?
Watching IndyCar, I expect.
There you go. What, on the TV?
You're staying in with your new little video.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Be doing that.
That's a new one for Dan. That is definitely.
Tissue sales in Port Said will be going through the roof.
I was kind of. That's where I was going with it, Lance, but I wasn't going to quite come out with it.
That's the watershed, Brim, isn't it? So, not on Saturday. Let's be honest.
So the repeats are Saturday morning at 11.
Don't worry about it. Cut it out.
No, cut it out. What are you on about? I'm not cutting anything out. It's Jack's Radio. Lads, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
See you soon, guys. Take it easy. Be back same place, same time next week for more of this utter nonsense.
You are listening to the greatest sports show on the planet. The Season Ticket, in association with Inspired to Change Bristol, helping to get your life back on track.